Hello, everybody, and welcome to 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, we got a paisan on the show today, Mike Scirocco.
Bring in the pagna.
I am just back from Italy, so I got my little Italian going on. I'm speaking a language. I'm feeling the groove. Maybe
dude, I'm not letting you sing today. You're not fucking singing today, all right?
I can't sing. Why can't you? Let me sing, bro. Let me rip it. Go ahead.
Anyways, again, today's guest is the unstoppable Mike Scirocco. He's a co-founder of the tech platform Blueprinted and best-selling author of What Are You Made Of? His goal has been to help people break free of the confines of complacency and propel to untapped levels of success, just like the G-Daddy here. So without further ado, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. I always love to start every interview I go on with gratitude, because the opportunity to be on a show where people care about what you have to say is truly an honor, and people take it for granted when they go on shows. So I just want to express gratitude to both of you and everybody else that's listening to the show that shows up to pay attention.
Well, appreciate that. Grateful to have you here, and let's get to know each other a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your business journey, how you got started, and what you're doing these days.
Yeah. So I was in sales since 1998. I used to do in-home sales. I cut my teeth going into houses, doing demonstrations, building rapport, you know, presenting and asking for the offer, or I'm sorry, asking for the order, the sale, handling objections, closing, and dealing with all that. And then going through a lot of that at times, and this is when I was younger. And then when I got the sale, I'd go home and party with my friends that night, be out all night. The next morning, come in for sales meetings. And the lady that worked up front at the office, she would come in and say, she's like, "Hey, Mike, Mrs. Smith is on the phone. She wants to cancel." And here, after I spent all this money last night, money I didn't even earn yet. Yeah, those are the days. But that's where I cut my teeth in sales and really working with people and understanding behaviors and how people operate. And I did that for 9 years before I got into real estate and mortgages. And once I got into real estate and mortgages, it was easy for me, because in-home sales is probably door-to-door and in-home sales is probably the toughest jobs out there, besides digging holes, but mentally. And my real
different
estate
kind of pain.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I always tell our people now, like when they're going through ups and downs in the business, I'm like, we're not digging ditches, guys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that helped me take off in the mortgage real estate space. And did that for almost 20 years now. But 4 years ago, I started getting this feeling like I'm not doing enough. And I wasn't playing a big enough game. And here I'm coaching and building my people, but I felt like I should be doing it on a grander scale. And I had the ability to, I just wasn't getting out there. And so I started seeking that out, and everything changed from that point.
Mike, you'd said a few minutes ago off camera, you said that you got to a point where you got a little bit stuck. How did any company values or your values play into the evolution of the company or whatever you're trying to build right now?
What was the first part of the question? I missed the first part.
The values. How do your values come into play? Because you said you're stuck. You have to fall back on something. So we talk about core values and values-based decision-making. How did that come
into play? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so I was in the mortgage space for 12 years, and the owner that I was working for, we built this division underneath of it. Money started going missing, and unethical behavior started happening, and I don't play that game. So as soon as I saw that, we had to move companies and platforms. But during that time, I had to hold on to the people at the time, because it really damaged the culture that we had. I had to figure out how to pay all my employees so that they would stay with me. Of course, when you're an owner of a situation, you have to sacrifice. So during that period of time, and by the way, it all started because I allowed the wrong people in my environment. Everything that ever caused me a problem in my life stemmed from having the wrong people in my environment. And I take responsibility for that. It's not the people. The people are the people. Human beings have problems. They're all going to have problems. But if you're not in alignment with the people that you allow in your environment, and they're not all going in the same direction as your mission, they're the wrong fit. And it's very important to figure that out quickly. So we decided to go to another company. Of course, we had to at that point. And number one thing we were looking for was culture. So we picked another platform out. And during that time, it was the first time I ever been through something like that. And I was stressed because I felt like the weight of all these employees on me. Nowadays, if I did it, it's not a big deal because I've been through it before, right? Now I could do it with no problem. Like, I just had a lady today put in her notice, right? And I'm like, okay, let's put a job posting out. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Any work that she had going on, the rest of the team, let's go. Let's fill in. Let's make it happen. And we just act really quick now. There's no emotion.
But can you define the wrong people? What was the wrong people to you at that time? Because, you know, for us, wrong people comes back to our core values, to the four core values that we adhere to.
Yeah, I didn't have core values then. Now we do. So our core values is an acronym, VITALS. So the people have to fit these values. And by the way, we talk through our core values in our company. We communicate through our core values. We hire and fire through our core values. VITALS is the acronym. V's, vibes matter, and emotions are contagious. I is imagine, no lids, endless potential. T is take 100% responsibility, gets rid of the blame game. A is all setbacks are rocket fuel. Back there, the book. And L, leadership starts with me. Everybody in our organization is a leader, no matter how long they've been there, no matter what their title is. And S is success is the only option. So those are the ones. And every core value that we have, there's a paragraph underneath of it, but we don't have to memorize those. We just are familiar. But the whole team memorizes that acronym. And we recite them every day in our morning meetings. We live by them and we are very, very serious with them.
It's good marketing too. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. But once we like, it takes the personal, like the taking things personal out of it, right? It takes the emotions out of it. If somebody doesn't align with it, they agree to it coming aboard. Every day they have to say the things again. So they're abiding by it. If they decide not to, there's no personal emotions. We just say you don't fit here anymore. We're holding you back if you stay here because there's a misalignment and we need to move on.
You ever talk with a group about building an enduring organization? Has that ever been a part of the goals and does that ever get kicked around? Because that's something in the last year or two that's been on our radar. And I think it aligns with core values, but it also aligns in terms of how you're making decisions and planning for the future. Any thoughts or comments there?
Yeah. So really important to be talking about the future. Like one of my superpowers is being a creator and causer of futures. And I think it's a really attractive thing to have is being able to cause and create futures, not for just for yourself, but for others. So we talk about the future a lot. We don't like to talk about the past. We don't like to talk about the present time.
Oh, my God, Gino, you hear that? We're moving forward, baby. We don't need to talk about that shit that happened back in the day, all right? No.
Emotions. Jake doesn't want to share his emotions. That's a personal thing. Jake's not an emotion guy. He does want to get into his emotions. So he's like, you know what? Forget about that. Let's move on. I want to get a little vulnerable sometimes. You don't want to get vulnerable with me.
Dude,
so
you ain't penetrating this, bro. You ain't penetrating it. All right.
Wins and losses, by the way. Wins and losses from the past don't matter. They don't matter. What matters is where you're focused on in the future. Now, that's one thing we do. The other thing is we care about our people's personal, professional, financial goals. We pay attention to them. We get with them. We meet with them. 4 times a year.
It's big.
We revisit them and we hold them accountable to the, you know, going after their goals, and their personal, professional, financial goals have to align with our company's goals. And so as long as that happens, you build a firm foundation, a good structure. And then the other thing is leadership. Like I have to be a great leader, but it starts with me. Leadership starts with me. And as long as I'm leading myself, holding myself accountable, I will have no problem holding someone else accountable. And we make sure everybody else understands that in the organization.
Mike, Jake and I are multifamily investors, and we often pass on short-term profits for the long-term viability and the scalability of our portfolio. How have you done that? Or have you come across that in your business where you got to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to get paid this quarter, or I'm going to reinvest. Have you come across that in your business, and do you employ that?
Yeah. When we switched platforms in the mortgage space, I went 6 months taking like minimum wage to make sure our employees were paid. And I remember at the time
leadership,
we had a goal
right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I had a decision. If I was going to do this and stick with this, then I had to do that. If I didn't, I'd have to find something else to do. Right. And during that time as well, we had goals that we set for ourselves, and it seemed really big, like the goals that we set. And then we're like, we started hitting those goals, and I'm like, these goals are too small. I couldn't believe it, but like we were too small. So we 5X the goal. And then that got everybody really fired up. But that was a case there. Right now I'm in tech startups. I ain't getting a dollar, man. And I'm putting a lot of time and effort into building the tech platforms that we're building. Blueprinted, Tipperosity. There's no pay coming my way anytime soon.
That's the ultimate wait for the back end, right? You gotta wait till the thing moves or something.
Yeah. I mean, they're cash flowing, or one of them's cash flowing right now. The other one's not launched yet, but it's cash flowing, but we're reinvesting in the company. Reinvest. The other thing is, you know, a lot of times when I start companies, I reinvest in the company and I invest in myself. That doesn't pay off right away, right? So I'm looking down the road. I want infinite returns. You guys love infinite returns when you're investing.
That's what our business is based on. You buy it, you refi it, get all your cash back, and then forever.
You can't put a return on that. There's no number. It's like, so I look at myself invested.
Yes,
in myself.
I do like infinite returns.
Yeah. So I look at invested in myself and invested in my business with infinite returns. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so everything is like, get it later. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I won't pick up something, here's an example. In the mortgage business, there's refis and purchases. Some people don't mess with refinances because it's a short-term grab. You're grabbing it right now. Later on, it affects possibly your purchase business because your realtors might get pissed at you because you're busier than you should be. We don't care. We do whatever we got to do to get the business in. So we'll take the refinance business right now, and we'll just make sure that we're prepared to handle all the purchase business. But you have to understand that there is something that comes along with that. In this year, because of the rate increase this year and the short-term rate increase, how like did it so fast, our business went down about 60% overall business. Not purchase business, but overall business, because the refis disappeared. Mm-hmm. So you got to be prepared for that and know during that period when you're getting that short-term gain that it's not long-lived.
Any experience? So you're talking about your team and their goals. Any experience with probably, I would guess it may be the younger folks coming on board, but the short-termitis where they want to get in, they want to make, you know, the big money, and they're kind of sacrificing the values or the betterment of the company to really push and maybe take on another, you know, purchase or just push it beyond where the company is at the time. They're kind of getting out over your skis. Have you lived through any of that?
I live it personally because I'm one of the most impatient people you'll ever meet. Because I also think that there's some justification behind that, because life is short, man.
Yeah.
And as you get older, time keeps flying faster. I mean, I can't believe we're in September right now. Time flies.
Dude, you're like the 20th right? person that said that to me this week.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out. I'm like, it comes every year, guys. Come on.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. There is some reality to the fact that you need to wait for some gains.
Yeah.
But if everybody starts thinking that way, then everybody just accepts that. And everybody doesn't move as fast as they could. There's nothing saying that you can't get a quicker gain faster if you try. Some people just don't do it because they don't think it's possible, or they've heard this thing all the time. So I don't like to promote you always have to wait. However, there are times you have to wait. And, you know, my guy, like what my thing is, like I'll do the chip away technique. I'll chip away, chip away, chip away. But I'm always open to a quantum leap. There's a book called...
I think it's the right quantum leap in terms of what we've run into, where it's like, because we're buying deals, right? And it's trying to force a deal that isn't a deal you actually want to pick up just for the simple acquisition, you know, because you're growing, yeah. Right? And I think it's that selectivity that has really helped us, because there's been times where we've grown too fast and we've got out over our skis, and it's because we're stretching into deals that were okay, but not really like our traditional bread and butter. And that's where I think you just got to be cautious, because guys want to, you know, go, go, go. And dude, I'm all about growth. I mean, one of our core values is having a growth mindset. So it's just being selective on the acquisition side for me personally.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'll go ahead, Gina. Do you have something? I saw you going towards the mic. No, I would be very leery of saying the word cautious. I don't even like saying be leery of it. Be dangerous. But here's the key. You need to have criteria, which you mentioned, that you filter everything through. And if it doesn't match it, there's no question. You don't change your standards. You just, you go binary decisions. I love binary decisions.
By right criteria, you know.
It's either towards or away. Mm-hmm. But I like to live dangerous though. So my danger zone is making sure I'm very committed to the towards rather than the away.
I think that's a Morgan Wallen song right now.
Maybe. You know what? What is it? I've heard of,
it's dangerous.
I've heard
of Morgan Wallen songs.
I've been listening to him recently. For some reason, I've been playing it on the Alexa.
It's the modern day Elvis, dude.
Well, have you heard of Hardy?
Dude, I saw Hardy. I saw Morgan Wallen. I know it all, man.
I didn't know Hardy existed. And then he was at a concert in Atlantic City recently. And he's the one that writes a lot of their songs. I didn't even know that.
Dude, Hardy's a badass.
Wild. It's wild. Yeah. But anyway, no. But I think live dangerously, but stick to your whatever your criteria that you set up. If it fits it, go. It's just the same thing with core values and people, right?
Mm-hmm. Mike, as you've evolved and you went from small startup, now you're getting into bigger companies and bigger deals. Jake and I have something we call the cadence of accountability. How have you been able to do that with your business, as far as having weekly meetings, as far as having quarterly planning, as far as having 1, 3, 5 years? What does that look like for you and your company? Because like you just said, you don't One employee's gone, the rest of the team's got to pick it up. How do you have that communication within an organization? Because if there's no communication, organization dies. It's just over. There's no way for it to survive.
Yeah, well, it helps with most of our employees are remote. So I work out of my house. This is my studio. I have a man cave here. It's set by the pool, like a great, I mean, not bragging, but it's just awesome, right? I get to work here. And then everybody's remote. So we're used to using Zoom or Teams, Microsoft Teams, communicating with everyone. But we have a meeting every day with our team. Every morning we have a meeting. And we, Mondays, we go over, you know, housekeeping items and, you know, getting our mindset right for the week. And then throughout the week, we're talking about strategies and challenges that we're dealing with. And then Friday, we celebrate wins and gratitude every Friday.
Like virtual toasts. So,
yeah. I mean, we literally will say a win and we'll pick somebody in the group that did something extraordinary for us and we thank them. And then we say pool because we call our group the talent pool. So we say pool and everybody claps twice. So we just build this thing, man, and everybody gets a kick out of it and they love it. But as far as 3 to 5 year plans, man, like especially in the mortgage business, we don't have any idea where rates are going, what they're going to do. All I look at is a number, 100 million a month. We want to do 100 million a month in loan volume. When do we want to do it by? As fast as possible. I don't want to put a date out there 2, 3, 5 years. I want to do it as fast as possible. That puts pressure on me to go out and find the people that we need to do whatever it takes to get to 100 million as fast as possible. So when you're talking about long-term planning, you know, look, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive 5 years from now. I don't even know that. So I want to do it now. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way I approach it. And that's probably why I named that book Rocket Fuel.
Love it.
I have a saying, thrust is a must.
Man, you got that from Ron Jeremy, Gino. So, you know, tell us about the business, where folks can get a hold of you, et cetera.
Well, we got a mortgage business, but I mean, that's just one of the business. The best place to do is Instagram, Mikey C Rock on Instagram.
Mikey C Rock with a Y, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yep. You can DM me there. Check out my content. I'm always trying to build people, help create unstoppable people. And everything I do, I filter through that mission of all people are unstoppable to live in the life of their dreams.
Mike, before we sign off, tell me a little bit about the book. I mean, you know, why'd you write the book? What's in the book? What can people expect once they read the book?
Well, I wrote this book. It has a little bit of my story, my journey and mentorships that I took on and what's come of those things. And some lessons I've learned that have created, you know, me being an unstoppable being. But the best story about this whole thing is Grant wrote the foreword for the book, Grant Cardone. And he's never written a foreword for a book before. And so when I started writing this book, I said to my team, guys, listen, one, we're going to write a bestseller. I never wrote a book before. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing, but we're going to write a bestseller. And number two, Grant's going to write the foreword for the book. And they're like, you talked to him about it? And I'm like, no, I haven't talked to him about it, but he's going to write the foreword for the book. And I said, everything we do forward, every meeting we have, every editing session, all this, we have to keep this in mind. That these two things are going to happen. These are just two targets that I said. It doesn't matter like what they were really. They're just targets, but it gives us something to make sure that we don't feel like doing something. It gets difficult. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. We keep going anyway. And so when I got finished writing the book or almost finished, I started selling the book, by the way, 6 months before it was published. Sold thousands of copies beforehand and opened up as a bestseller on the first day because of that. And people were getting sick of seeing my marketing and saying that they just said, just release a book, damn it. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to get the attention from it. I wanted to ride out the promotion angle of it because I think that's the most important part of the book. Mm-hmm. So, but right as I was wrapping up the book, I called Jared Glant. He's a friend of mine. He's the president of Cardone over there. And I said, dude, listen, I was wondering if you could give me a quote for the book from you. And I was kind of easing my way into it because I didn't want it to get awkward. If he couldn't pull this thing off that I had already committed to myself and my team.
Thrust's an awkward man. Where's this one going today? I don't know, man.
Yeah. I didn't want it to be awkward. So I said, can I get a quote from you for the book? He said, sure, no problem. I said, hey, how about Grant? Do you think he would write the foreword for the book? And I sat there and waited and he goes, yeah, I don't know about that, man. He hasn't done that before and he really doesn't do that. And I'm like, well, I already committed to my team and myself that we're going to have this happen. So can you check? And he goes, all right, I'll see. So
what do you say? 100 G's and we're done?
No, he came back and he said, well, close. He came back and he said who's it for? And he didn't want to just do it for anybody. And I've been involved in their community for a long time. He said, Yeah, C Rock, let's roll. But he would, you know, only do it for 75 grand. I had a 5-minute like bitch session where I was just like, are you kidding me? All the money I invested, all the courses I've taken. I've sent customers their way. Oh, you got to be kidding me. 75 grand. You can't just do it. And after that 5 minutes, I started thinking to myself, well, what if I did do it? And I started thinking to myself, like, what is this test like in front of me? Like, what if I did do it? I know I'm not going to get 75 grand back from book sales, but if I just did it, there's something that would happen. So I went to my wife and I said, hey, this is the situation. Can you believe this? She goes, it sounds like you've already made your mind up. I'm like, all right, I guess I have. So I went to my three partners in the mortgage business. I said, fellas, listen, Grant wants to charge 75 grand for the forward for the book. I already committed to doing it. I'm going to do it with or without you. But if you guys come in on this, all the stuff we do with tech and all this stuff, you're going to be involved with it. You're going to come along for the ride with it. Are you in? And each one of them said, yeah, we're in. We believe in you. Let's roll. So that 75 grand went down to 75 divided by four plus a tax write-off. I invested, what, 12, 15 grand to make it happen. But I got creative with it and it was a good exercise. I think that we all get faced with these things sometimes and we just run away from them and we just turn it down right away. But if you sometimes ask yourself, like, what if I did it? So I told Jerry Glenn, I said, I'm crazy enough to just do this. And then like within a couple of days, I wired 75 grand. I said, hey, the money's in the account. Get the forward to me. So yeah, so it was a pretty cool story. But
that's awesome.
Dude, it's been real. Mr. C-Rock, we appreciate your time today. Really enjoyed this. Going to pick up a copy of the book and all $75,000 of the glorious board and enjoy that. And we'll see you next time. So appreciate it.
Yeah,
and,
thank you, fellas. You guys are fun, man.
Thanks, Mike.